Last night we had a little young adult gathering, called it Holy Hour Happy Hour. Anyway, I didn't pick the name. It was a cool event, though. We had adoration for an hour, and then we just hung out, basically. And in our hanging out time, some conversation arose. Someone made a reference to Star Wars, and, you know, nice. But, like, I've never seen one Star Wars movie. Did you know that?
Star Wars.
And now it's at the point where it's like a thing that I like being able to tell people I've never seen Star Wars, so now I'm never going to watch Star Wars ever. I've also never been in an Uber, in case you're wondering, and that's the same situation. So then the person switched and they made a Star Trek reference, and I said, I've never seen Star Trek either. And she then started talking about The Lord of the Rings, because of course, me, a good priest, literature person, loving Catholic man, am going to know Lord of the Rings. I really don't like Lord of the Rings, to be honest with you. And this person said to me, you are the nerdiest priest I know. And you don't know any of the three nerdiest things. I said, I'm sorry to let you down in this way. But I'll tell you why I don't like Lord of the Rings. Because I have tried to read Lord of the Rings and watch Lord of the Rings. And I don't like Lord of the Rings because, to me, it is an exhausting enterprise. It's an exhausting adventure. It should not be exhausting for me to jump into a different world, you know? But Tolkien wants you to, like, learn another language practically, right? Anyway, it can feel a little bit like that. Like, what world are we in? What are we talking about when we go into the scriptural world? It can feel a little bit foreign. It can seem a little bit foreign when we're reading from like Chronicles, like we did today, and we're talking about all these people, the Chaldeans and King Cyrus and Persia and Babylon. And then you have Jeremiah the prophet talking about whatever. And it can feel like very disjointed or foreign. And in some ways, it will always be foreign, right? Because that's not our world. You and I were not captive in Babylon. You and I were not in the temple of Jerusalem when King Nebuchadnezzar and his men came and sacked everything and hauled us off to Babylon. But there is a part of that, of course, that remains our story because it isn't a different world. And that's what I want you to remember. It's not a different world. That the beautiful part, especially about that section of the Old Testament, which is literally called the histories, is that it is history. But it's history intertwined with the work of God, which I think is marvelous. So you have these historical accounts. It's true that the Jews were deported from Jerusalem to Babylon. That really is true. There's historical evidence for that outside the scriptures. It's true that there's this guy named King Cyrus, who was from Persia, who kicked the Babylonians in their behind and conquered their mighty kingdom and sent them all running away and said, what the heck are these people doing captive far away from their home? Why don't you all go back to Jerusalem? That King Cyrus releases the Jews from their captivity in Babylon, sends them back to Jerusalem, ending the captivity. But then it's also true that there was a prophet named Jeremiah who received a word from the Lord that said, in 70 years, a new king will come and send you home. So when you read the first reading today, it can be like, what are we talking about? Is this really the world I'm in or not? But I love the way that the histories, especially Chronicles, I love the way it chronicles. That was a nerdy priest thing to say. You don't have to laugh at that. It's okay. But the way that it weaves them all together. And the question that I have for you today is, do you perceive your life in the same way? Do you perceive your life in the same way? I know you all perceive the ups and the downs of your life. You know the events of your life, whether you love them or hate them or want to talk about them or not, you know them. And it's easy to forget. We try to separate the daily things of life, the major movements of life, from the underlying working of grace, the underlying movement of gratitude and of joy that accompany all these things. Sometimes we look at an event and we say, event bad, negative event, therefore my life bad, my life negative. But that's actually not the Christian worldview at all. You want to be able to say, that was really bad. That was really difficult. This is a tremendously difficult thing. However, and I'm not saying, oh, well, you got to be like Pollyannish about it, right? But you want to be able to say, where was the Lord at work the last time that something like this happened? Or what have I noticed that my life is actually, the things I want in life, such as companionship or being known, being taken care of, a sense that I'm loved, a sense that I have a community, a sense, whatever, I feel like I have to prove or whatever, that, yeah, the difficulty actually brings me to a new place. That's what the light is about. That's what it means to live in the light, is to prefer light to darkness. But so many of us are living in darkness most of the time. And that doesn't mean to say, oh, we're all living in sin all the time. That could be true. But to prefer the darkness to the light simply means to prefer to live in this godless world. And I think a lot of people today, even people in our pews, are basically like functional atheists in a way. That the work of God's grace, that His vision for my life, His vision for my future, His work, His preferences, I don't really think about them because I'm so captivated with the details of my world. But then today you heard something marvelous, didn't you? For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him might not perish, but might have eternal life. How many of you have that memorized? Show me. How many of you have that memorized? For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him might not perish, but might have eternal life. When I was a little kid, my mom had these neon cups, like plastic cups, that we would drink out of at dinner time. And mine was yellow, I think, and my brother's was like orange. But mine had that phrase written on the side of it, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, John 3:16. That if you don't know any other thing from the whole scripture, if you don't know any other line from the whole Bible, and you want to be a good evangelist out in the world, that's the one to know. That's why we see it at the sidelines at the Super Bowl. That's why our favorite athletes write it on their face. That's why, you know, high school girls have John 3:16 in their Instagram profile. Because it's short, sweet, and to the point, and it's the perfect charismatic message. It's the perfect basic preaching of the gospel message. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him might not perish, but might have eternal life. We could spend hours talking about that. And if Father Mike was here, you probably would spend hours talking about it. I had breakfast with him yesterday, by the way, and he says hello. But this is what I just want to impart on you today. It's the question, again. Do you have the sense that your world as it is, you don't have to make up a world, you don't have to go learn Tolkien's Hobbit language, you don't have to pretend like everything's fine. In your world as it is, with all your bank issues and your taxes coming up and your job thing and your leaky gutter and all of that, do you believe that God loves that world too? When you look out at Naperville and you read the newspaper and you think, oh, what's happening to our world? Do you believe that God loves that world still enough that the work of His Son, who He gave, could be effective? Do you believe that God loves your heart enough that the work of His Son that He gave for you could still be effective? And if you really want to change, here's the deal. Start to think about your life, your actions in these terms. Dark or light? Dark or light? Am I living in darkness or am I choosing light? This is the verdict. The light came to the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. So every time you're like making a decision or you're going to say something, now you don't want to be scrupulous about it, and in the moment it can be difficult, but it's helpful at the end of the day to examine how did you go about it. Did you look at something through the perspective of darkness? If you want to show people in the world that you are claimed by this God who loves you, loves the world, loves the other people around you, that your life has been won, it's been ransomed, if you want to do that, then stop living like the world does and start choosing the light. What does it mean? It means to tell the truth all the time, no matter what. Very, very hard. Very hard. It means to look at why you do what you do. It means to avoid things that are easy to fall into, like gossip, the workplace, looking twice, maybe lustfully, at the people around you. It means to not complain. Even when things are very difficult, we want to be constructive in our speech. But there's another side of it too. It means to look for good and to affirm it, to build people up. Did someone at work do something great? And by great, I don't mean save the company, but I mean fix the copy machine for everyone without being affirmed or publicly thanked. Go thank them. Bake cookies for people in your life. Not for any reason other than that you love them. You love cookies too, and you love the people around you. Do you have some kind of things that you can do to show people that you notice them, that you care about them? Hold the door for someone that you don't even know. Are you the kind of person who sees and you think, oh, they're like too far away for me to hold the door, so I'm going in? Surprise that person and hold the door. Do you know how it feels to make it like to, for someone to see that you're another human being in the planet? Have you walked around this neighborhood, by the way, especially college kids, and like you walk right by them and they don't even acknowledge you? So I've just started saying, hi, morning. They don't like that. But you have to make that decision for yourself. Do you want to find light and be light in the world? Do you want to spread joy in the world? Then you just have to start doing it, choosing it. Because the message is the same. It's not a different world. The scriptures are not talking about a world that's dead or a world that, you know, Moses made up a thousand gajillion years ago. This is our world, you guys. This is our life. And it's true that the world prefers darkness to light, because the darkness can be fun for like 5 minutes. And then there's just tremendous suffering. But those of us who know the light, we really ought to be sharing it and talking about it in more practical ways. Because it is as practical as it gets. It's not far away. It's not difficult. It's just your everyday life. You're already living it. So try to live it a little bit more intentionally, so that you can notice the work of God around you. And if you don't want to read Lord of the Rings, then dang it, don't. That was more for me than you.